Welcome to the new Fee Compass Jam session on financial instruments on the EU Share Management Fund. My name is Bruno Robino. I'm head of Fee Compass at European Investment Bank. As you may know, together with the Director General for Migration and Home Affairs, we are examining how financial instruments can be used in the current programming period to support the integration of third country nationals using resources under the Asylum Integration and Migration Fund, or co-financed with other resources. This is the first Fee Compass podcast episode exploring the potential for financial instruments in this specific area. And today, we'll discuss the support through the Easy Business Development Service pilot, called in short the BDS pilot, to migrants and refugees entrepreneurs. Joining us today is Cristina Dumitrescu, Senior Investment Manager in the Inclusive Finance Division at European Investment Fund. Hi, Cristina, and welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much, Bruno. It is so nice to be here today.
Cristina, can you tell us a bit about the role of the European Investment Fund in promoting employment and inclusion and your work in the Inclusive Finance Division at the EIF?
Sure. The EIF is a financial institution and is part of the European Investment Bank Group. EIF's central mission is to support European small and medium-sized businesses, the SMEs, by helping them to access finance. We support entrepreneurship, employment and social inclusion, and want to ensure that everyone, including vulnerable groups, so also migrants recently arrived to the EU, have access to the financial products and services they need to start and grow their businesses. We believe that promoting these areas is key to ensuring Europe's economic growth and social progress. At EIF's Inclusive Finance Division, we manage and deploy the European Commission programs aimed at financial and social inclusion. Of course, sometimes we receive such mandates also from other institutions, mainly the EIB or various national or regional managing authorities. I have joined the Inclusive Finance Division 10 years ago, and I have been directly involved in the implementation of the EU programs that foster access to finance for the non-bankables, vulnerable groups, including migrants and refugees. We work closely with financial intermediaries, including microfinance institutions, but also other social finance providers across the EU and beyond, where the programs are eligible in the non-EU member states. I would want to thank you very much for the invitation to join this podcast on financial inclusion of migrants and refugees. It is a very relevant topic, especially during the today's debates and discussions on climate change and climate adaptation, on digitalization, while kind of forgetting there are people in an exclusion situation, people at risk of poverty. The financial instruments deployed by the Inclusive Finance team at EIF target specifically these people.
Oh, that's great. That's a lot of information. But can you explain to which extent migrants are keen in undertaking entrepreneurial activities?
Sure. Migrants in the EU are actually quite entrepreneurial. And in many cases, they have a higher rate of entrepreneurship than the general population. Migrants often face barriers to traditional employment, such as language barriers or even discrimination. Entrepreneurship is an inclusion tool for them, a way to create their own opportunities in the host countries. Additionally, many migrants come from countries with strong entrepreneurial traditions and may have experience running businesses in their home countries. Now, we hear sometimes claims that migrants steal our jobs. Well, according to the research, they not only do not steal our jobs, but they contribute to the entrepreneurial activity and create new jobs. One of the EIF working papers, the European Small Business Finance Outlook, prepared by our colleagues from Research and Market Analysis Division, calculated that in 2019, foreign-born self-employed were as likely to create jobs as the native-born self-employed. And non-EU self-employed were more likely to create jobs than self-employed EU-born migrants. The proportion was 30 versus 24% in this regard.
That's very detailed. At the beginning, you spoke about the barriers that third country national might face in setting up their own business in the new homeland. Can you expand on this?
Indeed, third country nationals face some unique challenges. In the face of their early integration in their new homeland, this is the period when they just arrived to the EU. Migrants often do not speak the language at all. They do not have social networks. They do not fully understand the culture, perhaps have issues finding adequate housing, adequate health care. Often, due to regulatory barriers, they actually cannot start a business directly. They might even face issues in opening a bank account. Usually, the medium and long-term integration phase is when they become employed or start their own business. But even now, they often lack training to foster their employability or entrepreneurial spirit. And even if their business idea is great, they lack access to finance. The traditional banking sector perceives them as too risky, as they do not have the necessary collateral, lack credit history or business history in the host country. This is why it is so important to provide targeted support to help migrants overcome these challenges and achieve success in their entrepreneurial ventures.
Indeed, how banking sector perceive this type of beneficiary is rather important. But could you tell us more about the role of microfinance in support of integration of migrants within the European Union?
By the internationally accepted definition of the Consultative Group to Assist the Poor, the CGAP, microfinance is provision of basic financial services to poor or low-income people who traditionally lack access to banking and related services. What started years ago as an empowerment tool for the people to get out from poverty in the developing countries transformed into a policy tool in Europe aimed at financial and social inclusion through entrepreneurship. Microfinance offers a chance, an opportunity for people to follow their entrepreneurial dream or project. Over the years, microfinance in Europe has become an essential mechanism to facilitate the necessity-driven business creation. Vulnerable people, people at risk of poverty, are a potentially important group of business creators since a decision to start a business often arises out of necessity. But the motivation to start a business goes beyond escaping unemployment. And early-stage entrepreneurs are creating jobs or tackling other societal challenges, including environmental implications. Microfinance supports inclusive entrepreneurship by offering both financial products and non-financial services, mentoring, training, coaching. The microfinance sector in Europe is still developing, being highly fragmented and diverse with no common business model. The European Commission has recognized its importance and supports its further development through various initiatives. One of the key initiatives in this regard was the EU Programme for Employment and Social Innovation, the so-called EASY Programme during the 2014-2020 programming period. But it's also worth mentioning that a number of microfinance initiatives have been implemented, co-financed with the 2014-2020 European Social Fund resources in various EU countries like Italy, Germany, or Bulgaria.
Good that you mentioned this. Indeed, on the FICOMPASS, we publish a number of case studies related to microfinance instruments on the ESF. All these are published on our website of FICOMPASS. Coming back to EASY, could you please briefly describe how the program did support microfinance?
The EASY program included a mix of both financial and non-financial instruments. As financial instruments, we had the EASY guarantee, EASY capacity building investment products, and EASY funded instrument offering both guarantees, capital strengthening, and liquidity aimed at strengthening the microfinance and social entrepreneurship finance markets. Our flagship instrument, the EASY guarantee, was a free of charge capped portfolio guarantee with a guarantee rate of 80% on a loan by loan basis, and a guarantee cap rate established at the level of the expected loss of the portfolio to be built, but in no case larger than 30%. Based on the most recent reporting round, this instrument helped mobilizing about 5 billion euro for the benefit of more than 150,000 micro and social SMEs. The strong financial inclusion focus is demonstrated by an impressive 79% figure, indicating the number of entrepreneurs who received their very first business loan ever under the EASY program. And if we speak about numbers, 24% of the included business loans were granted to migrant entrepreneurs.
Thanks for the figures. But could you please expand on the launch of the Business Development Service pilot project to which microfinance institution benefiting from the EASY guarantee could apply to?
We mentioned before that microfinance needs an integrated approach, financial and non-financial services together for the benefit of the micro entrepreneur. Because of any vulnerable person or startup entrepreneur, and I would say any entrepreneur, if I'm allowed, is often in need of acquiring the necessary skills for entrepreneurial success through various trainings, mentorings, coaching, and other advisories. More, the migrants face additional obstacles, including language, cultural differences, settling costs, and limited access to entrepreneurship training programs or even subsidies. Therefore, migrants need specific attention to overcome the challenges to stimulate their entrepreneurial activities. As a direct consequence, costs incurred when providing BDS to such migrants and refugees are higher than for any other mainstream micro-enterprise or micro-borrower, for instance, because of language or administrative barriers. As the EASY guarantee instrument aimed to enhance access to finance for vulnerables, and migrants and refugees are a specific category of vulnerable people, especially during recent years when migration waves entered Europe further to conflicts in Syria or Ukraine, European Commission, DG Employment specifically, together with EAF, have designed a pilot instrument to partially offset these costs, enabling financial intermediaries to provide such business development services and therefore boosting entrepreneurship amongst vulnerable communities.
And what did the business development services consist of?
The BDS pilot was embedded in the EASY guarantee. The available budget was rather small, only 1 million euro. But it provided a grant, a lump sum of 400 euros per each migrant who received, on one side, a loan covered by the EASY guarantee, and on the other side, training, mentoring, or coaching services from the beneficiary of the guarantee.
How did the BDS work in practice, and how long did it last?
The pilot was launched in 2018 through a dedicated EAF call of expression of interest that was available until the end of 2021. We had intermediaries that applied to the pilot while being on course of deploying the EASY guarantee product, but also intermediaries that applied at the same time for both the guarantee and the BDS pilot.
And how many financial intermediaries participated in the pilot project and from which country they were coming from?
9 intermediaries located in 8 countries: Belgium, France, Greece, Italy, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Spain, and Sweden are participating in the pilot.
Great. So the pilot project covered quite a number of EU member states. But if we have to get into the details, how many migrants and refugees participated in the exercise? And also, can you tell me more about the difference between the term migrants and refugees? What are the definitions behind?
Sure. Based on the latest reporting received, about 2,000 migrants and refugees have benefited so far. If we speak about the definition, for the purpose of the BDS pilot, a refugee means a person who benefits from international protection or refugee status in the relevant jurisdiction, while a migrant means a person whose country of origin differs from the participating country where he or she is currently residing, evidenced by a relevant residential permit in accordance with the applicable laws of the host country.
So how did microfinance institutions participating in the BDS pilot identify and approach migrants and refugees?
Well, borrowers with no business or credit history have only limited access to finance. This is obviously the case of migrants. When asking for a bank loan, vulnerable micro-entrepreneurs find themselves rejected or discouraged by the banks. So they turn to alternative solutions. Microfinance institutions provide such an alternative. They do not always charge lower in the interest rates, but they are less demanding in terms of collateral or other guarantee requirements. Plus, the MFIs know their market and their target group very well. They can really offer a more personal, tailor-made, and simple service. In addition, various NGOs, other support organizations that offer various integration services to migrants and refugees, they themselves refer the migrant to an MFI or to a cooperative bank or to an ethical bank, knowing that such specific institutions can address the specific financial needs for the migrant or refugee.
And do you have a success story from the BDS pilot project to share with us?
Well, there are a lot of interesting stories. Ariela, an Argentinian national living in Spain, had already worked in dermocosmetics in her home country. Today, she set up her own company in the Basque country, offering a full range of cosmetics and beauty products rooted firmly in sustainable development and based on local products. Ariela was supported by our intermediary in Bilbao, Laboral Kucha. Another example could be Hussein. Originally from Iraq, he arrived in Luxembourg as a refugee, struggling for a couple of years to find a job. Today, benefiting from the support offered by Microlux, our Easy and BDS intermediary, Hussein is the owner of Lux Cars, a company dedicated to purchasing, selling, and renting of second-hand vehicles.
Wow, these are great stories, and I'm sure there are many more. Can you tell me more about the lesson learned from the Easy BDS pilot project and which lesson could be applied for future programs or initiatives aimed at supporting migrants and refugees, entrepreneurs?
There are definitely opportunities to build on the experiences of the Easy BDS pilot. As this was a pilot, it turned out to be quite time-consuming from an operational perspective. Then it allowed for a fixed, uniform, lump sum amount, even though we know that various BDS efforts cost differently, not only from one country to the other, but also from one type of BDS to the other. Not to speak about the fact that usually trainings, advisory support are offered to a larger number of recipients, and not all of them end up becoming microfinance borrowers. In addition, we know that provision of business development services by an Easy financial intermediary involves different parties. And generally, the amount of money provided under the pilot was going into the Easy intermediary bank account, remaining for this institution to distribute the proceeds towards the real BDS provider. We all know that BDS can be provided directly by the financial intermediary, but more often, this is done indirectly through various external parties. Overall, this pilot is a good example of blending a grant component into a microfinance instrument. Such combinations between a financial instrument and a grant are possible according to various regulations currently in force. And if I'm not mistaken, your team, Bruno, is looking into this.
Yes, indeed. And thank you for mentioning this. We're currently exploring the potential for financial instruments to support the areas of integration of migrants as part of an EU-wide study under the AMIF workstream. One of the three areas in which the study is focusing is actually the combination of microfinance instruments and a grant element, for instance, to cover business development services. And we'll try to see whether this combination could work. And stay tuned in the second half of 2023 for the results of this study. Well, actually, there is some debate from the market whether such support or the support like Easy BDS should target specifically only migrants and refugees, or whether they should be extended more broadly to support entrepreneurship. What is your perspective on this issue?
Provision of business development services is an essential dimension of microfinance, but they are costly. At the same time, they are very diverse, and each one of the microfinance providers we are working with have a different way or different method to provide this advisory service to their clients. We also know of institutions that are charging a very symbolic fee for this type of services, trying to ensure the commitment, the real engagement of the participating entrepreneurs. But in general, these services are offered for free, which bears a substantial cost for the MFIs.
Christina, can you tell us more on how you currently support this sector through 21-27 initiatives?
Sure. As you know, we are at the beginning of a new programming period, a bit delayed start given the COVID-19 pandemic that impacted on all of us, but new financial instruments are being available under the multi-thematic InvestEU umbrella fund. As the EAF Inclusive Finance team, we are deploying a capped portfolio guarantee product for microfinance and social entrepreneurship finance that is a continuation of the previous Easy Guarantee instrument. As such, the features of the InvestEU guarantee for micro and social are similar to the ones of the previous Easy. What has changed, and this is due to the market consultations that we have frequently with the market players, the maximum loan amount increased to euro 50,000 for microfinance from the old 25,000 threshold and to 2 million euros for social entrepreneurship from the previous 500,000. The goal of InvestEU guarantee product for micro and social is to foster financial and social inclusion for vulnerable groups, which includes migrants and refugees. We also offer a capacity building investment product in the form of a subordinated loan aimed at strengthening the institutional capacities of eligible micro and social finance providers that in turn have a direct effect on increased outreach for vulnerable groups, including migrants and refugees.
Christina, many thanks for these insights. Thank you very much for all your information, and it was really a pleasure to listen to you.
Thank you, Bruno. The pleasure was mine.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. Hopefully you enjoyed this discussion on business development services under the EASY program, which supported the integration of migrants and refugees. If you have any question, please send us an email at info@ficompass.eu. We also encourage you to visit the AMIF page on the Ficompass website and read our Ficompass AMIF fact sheet. These are a good starting point for any of you interested in knowing more about financial instruments under the AMIF, and of course also under other resources which could support migration and integration of migrants and refugees. And also do not forget to follow us on social media and to keep an eye on future podcast episodes. Hope you enjoyed. Have a nice day, everybody. Bye-bye.